Now over 4,500 people took part in the Gran Fondo biking event from Stormont at the weekend. It's a major sporting competition here, a legacy from Northern Ireland hosting the prestigious Giro d'Italia in 2014. For many people taking part, it meant over cycling over 100 miles through the moors. But it was the lack of food rather than the rough, steep terrain that left some bikers feeling they'd been seriously shortchanged. Our reporter Nicola Weir spoke to one competitor who said the organisers had made what should have been an enjoyable experience into an unbearable struggle.
Last year, for example, at the Hilltown stop, which is the first one, there were sandwiches available. At that point, 40-odd miles in, you know, it's pretty good to get something on board at that stage. At the second stop, at Slieve Croob last year, we had, I think it was Mash Direct, who were supplying mashed potatoes and so forth. So it was good, you know, it was good food for cycling. This year, when I arrived at Hilltown, the opportunity to eat was based on an offering of water. Some energy type solutions that you mix up with the water, and caramel wafers. Now, I was suffering at that stage with a bit of stomach trouble because of energy drinks that I'd been taking, so I wasn't in the mood for any more. I couldn't have eaten a wafer at that stage, so I took some water and rode on. At the next stop, there was some expectation that there may be something more. The only addition were green bananas, which were pretty hard, actually, and they didn't go, you know, lie in the stomach too well either. So it was pretty pathetic, to be honest. And the number of complaints I've heard from other riders on the same topic has been colossal.
Everyone, because how important is food in a race like that? Because you were doing the race that you were cycling over 100 miles. How important are the food stops? And did you go with the expectation that this year would be the same as last year?
I was running on empty. I'd taken along my own gels, my own bars for sustenance. I had energy drinks there, but really what you need is proper food. What you bring along is only as an add-on to that. It's really only a backup to what you expect to get at the food stops, and they really were not adequate. When you're riding 108 miles almost, you need to keep eating. You should be eating every 20 minutes. But afterwards, I tried to go around to the bike park. It was demanded that I took my shoes off because I had plastic rubber cleats on them and I couldn't walk across an all-weather pitch. Well, the rain had just come on, so I'd just ridden 108 miles and I was expected to walk basically in my soles across this wet pitch. So I said, forget it. And I was then told that I couldn't take my bike up into the competitor area. So I said, well, I'll not go then. Do you want my food and drink ticket?
Were they asking all cyclists after they did the long route and the short route to take off their shoes?
Yeah.
And cyclists were walking about in their sock soles?
Yeah. And my understanding also from what I've read in social media is that you weren't able to wear your cleats into what they described as the competitor area where you get fed either. I didn't get that far because there was absolutely no... At the point where I had finished and got down, thankfully it didn't rain during the event for me, but there was a torrential downpour for about 10 minutes at that point, and I was just standing under trees with my bike because I had nowhere to put it at that stage.
Do you think that you would enter again, given your experience this year, because you were struggling going round, or is it a case of you'll bring more food with you?
No, I mean, one day on, and I'm still of the opinion as I was yesterday, I won't be back in the current setup.
Well, that doesn't sound too good, does it? Dara McCade is from Shade Tree Sports, who organised the event. Good morning, Dara.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That doesn't sound good, does it?
Well, I'm sorry the gentleman had what you might call a negative experience. We have food stops on the route, but they really are an added extra in the sense that people need to be able to do 175-kilometre about 108-mile ride with what's in their pockets. That really is... It's not something... There's many riders don't even stop at the food stops. But I'm certainly sorry that the gentleman found he was eating green bananas. For sure, we ordered bananas and we didn't certainly expect them to be raw, so to speak. But in terms of the Nixa Pavilion, we set up a... You know, which, by the way... is quite a cost. We set up a bike park, and it's free to the riders. We don't ask them to to pay. But obviously, with the venue, we had certain restrictions, and the bicycle park had to be put up on an expensive football pitch. So the weather there was the problem. When the sun was shining for most of the day, riders had no problem taking their shoes off, and they didn't have very far to walk to get their pasta and beer. But obviously, when that serious downpour came on, you know, there's nothing an organiser can do to make people feel less miserable. And, you know, obviously, I wish the weather hadn't gotten so bad, but we felt that the bike park is an important part of the event. So when riders have finished, they can feel secure that their bike, and they're all very expensive bikes, we have security on the bike park. And, you know, on this occasion, we had to ask them to take their shoes off because the cleats would damage the park and the
let's remember that all these competitors paid 65 quid ahead to take part of this. And look, Darragh, to be fair to you, we're going to talk to a couple of other cyclists here this morning.
Sure.
And to be fair to you, look, people don't often contact the Nolan Show to say that was a great event. By the very nature of our programme, people sometimes contact us when they feel that maybe they haven't got something that they like. So here's Darren and Philip this morning. I'm sure there are people that really enjoyed your event. Let's say that up front. Darren, good morning to you.
Hello, how are you?
Good morning. And Philip, good morning to you.
Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Philip. Darren, let's start with you. So what was your experience of this? You've got the guy who organised the event on the line here.
Okay, great. Well, to start with, I'm from Wexford, and myself and my team travelled up from Wexford the day previous. So to begin with, from the very beginning, as soon as the event was closed, we had paid £65. The start line had been moved, which was huge for us because, obviously, we're checking into hotels. We want to be in the Titanic water where the event was due to start, and we'd pay through the nose for room rates and stuff. So to be told that we had to ride an extra 10k out to Stormont, and then after the event to ride back in then as well. And we were doing the 180k event, which added on obviously another 20k, which pushed us up to the 200k plus.
Sorry, how did you travel up from Wexford?
Okay, so we have a club van, so we all travelled up in the club van, and knowing that
we had free parking at Storms.
Yes, you have free parking if you don't want to be located near your hotel. But obviously, we need to unload bikes and keep them. We don't want to leave bikes in vans overnight, especially on streets and stuff like that. The bikes are worth 10 times what the van's worth. So obviously we wanted the van or the bikes to be in close in our rooms or locked in a room in the hotel. So it's not ideal to leave a van packed with probably nine buses.
Let's let Dara reply to you.
I understand, you could have driven 10 minutes in the van in the morning to Stormont where we had free parking for 1,800 vehicles.
Yeah, that's true. But given that the start time was 7 o'clock in the morning, for us to get up, bring the bikes out into the van, set the bikes up, take them back out of the van. We would want to be getting up and get breakfast and all before that as well. We would need to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning, which is ridiculous. For a 10K cycle out, you're not going to do that. It's just too much hassle, to be honest.
Let's let Dara reply.
Well, I mean, most riders who got up for the ride yesterday would have been having a breakfast call at 4:30 anyway for a 7 a.m. start. So, I mean, we have many, many riders who decided to cycle or drive from downtown Belfast. So, I mean, I really don't see the issue there. But go on anyway. I think
we didn't drive out, and luckily enough, we didn't drive out because from the other riders on the race I spoke to, they said the parking was an absolute shambles. That it was a nightmare. There wasn't enough space.
No, it wasn't.
I'm just telling you the feedback that we were told.
Okay.
And to be honest, we were very happy that we decided to cycle out the extra 10K. Anyway, I'll move on to that issue.
To be honest, you're not happy.
Let me just say a couple of good things. The people on the route, and we noticed that we're from Wexford, we're from the south. We weren't as well received at any events. I race at a high level down here, and I can tell you there's not near the numbers of people out on the roads waving people on, wishing everyone on. The people up there were absolutely brilliant. The PSNI and the volunteers, I couldn't speak highly enough of them. We have done this event for 3 years in a row, and the reason people are so annoyed, and well, I speak for my team, is that there was such a devolution in the quality of the food stops from,
the
previous year.
Well, okay, so let me ask that question. Dara, why was there food last year and not this year?
Exactly. That's what people are annoyed about.
Well, let me ask him. Dara.
Go.
Yes. I'm here.
Why was there food last year and not this year?
Well, I think it's incorrect to say there was no food this year.
Why was there a different type of food last year and not this year?
Well,
sandwiches last year, none this year. Why?
Okay. Can I answer the question? I'll give you an example. We had Mash Direct as a sponsor last year, and they were fantastic. We went back to Mash Direct, obviously, to do the same thing again, and they had moved on to a different event. Maybe, and sponsors need to see feedback from events. If they supplied last year a significant amount of free food, it would be nice, I hope, that they would have received some direct emails from riders saying, you know, you did a fantastic job and I'm going to buy your product now. But maybe that didn't happen, so Mash Direct didn't come on as a sponsor again. But there was food. We had a significant amount of energy gels, hydration powders, and energy bars. We had bananas and we had Tunnocks caramel wafers. So to say there's no food is not quite true. With the food stops, please, this is an important point. With the food stops,
go ahead.
We're in a constant operation of trying to minimize the road closure. Last year and the year before, we started in Titanic Belfast, which has a significant inside Belfast impact. That's the main reason why we moved to Stormont. Now, even at that, we have to make sure that riders are pulling in and getting stuff and going and not sitting down and having a fantastic bowl of soup. You can do that on a sport team that doesn't have a full road closure. But this event has a full road closure, probably one of the only ones on the island of Ireland with a full road closure. And that brings with it a real serious bit of work.
Let's give Philip a shout as well. Philip, go ahead.
Thanks, Stephen. Stephen, there's always a flip side of the coin here. Some very good points already. First, the marshalling by the PSNI and the officials were second to none, first class. I couldn't fault them at all. To bring up the bad points, it was a well-run event, but I think that the main issue, aside from the cleats and the all-weather pitch and you know things like that, you can't control the rain. I think once you get wet, you're wet. You can't get any wetter, so forget the cleats. But food is of the utmost importance when you're on one of these runs, especially on a distance of 175 kilometres. You need that food in your system. You know, eat when you're not hungry, drink when you're not thirsty. So I constantly sort of graze when you're riding along the bike. Last year, my sister did the event. She got a sandwich at Hilltown. I think she got some Mash Direct at Sikonnell, which is further on in the tour.
Well, there are some people pointing out here that there was an email sent to competitors telling you up front what the food would be. So you knew what it would be.
No, correct. I didn't get that email. And I actually know some people who edited the event didn't get any emails. So I had to forward my emails on to them. So, you know, last year and previous year, everyone was getting... Let me finish. This year, we didn't get any food, so we had to bring along our own sandwiches. And luckily, we sort of squashed a couple of ham sandwiches into our back pockets. I know the area. I live in the area, so I'm familiar with the hills and, you know, where the potential pitfalls are. But for people, I mean, I saw people from Malaysia there. There were Americans there. People who don't know the area at all. And, you know, when you're riding along further on the route and you see, you know, guys, you know, much fitter than me, much more able than me, you know, broken at the side of the road and just sort of gazing like zombies into the grass because they're just, you know, completely tank is empty.
Okay, we're nearly out of time. Let's let Dara reply to that.
Again, from our point of view, the ride needs to be supported with feedstuffs, but the feedstuffs are a top-up rather than a get you to the finish, so to speak. The riders need to know, and they did know. We did send email. I appreciate some people's security on the computers might put the email into junk, but we sent an email out to all participants to their email addresses with telling them what food would be at the food stops. I'm sorry some people that didn't meet their expectations. This is a very, very large event, and the
that, for example, our company, Shade View Sports, employs a significant amount of the traffic management, but working with the PSNI, it's an ongoing piece of work, and we take all criticism on board, and if we get a renewal of the contract, we'll want to improve it in any ways possible.
And Dara, we really appreciate you coming on this morning and listening to the feedback, so thank you very much indeed.